This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Is a new women's movement going to be launched next week?
I want to say it unequivocally and unapologetically that the data is clear that when it comes to ambition to lead, to be the leader of whatever you're doing, men, boys outnumber girls and women.
That's some tough talk from Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg in a 60 Minutes interview airing this Sunday. And with me now, Joan Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. All right, so ladies first. Rana, Sandberg's already getting criticized for her message in this new book of hers, Lean In, that women need to be more aggressive about their careers, that they're holding themselves back. Is there merit to what she's saying?
Well, first of all, I want to encourage everybody to read Time Magazine's cover this week, which is a piece on Sheryl by my colleague, Belinda Luscombe, and it's really fantastic. And I think it sheds a lot of light on the debate. I think what she's doing is necessary. Statistically, she's right. If you look at CEO-level positions, if you look at political positions, you know, what we think of as traditional institutional leadership, yes, men certainly outnumber women. But I'm going to come clean and say that I personally feel very tired when I think of Sheryl Sandberg's life and all that she's balancing. And I also wonder about...
Because she is a billionaire, a millionaire,
well,
a Facebook...
She's basically saying, you know, keep your pedal to the metal no matter what, no matter if you've got kids, whatever else is going on in your life. And you know what? I'm for any woman making any choice that they want to make. But I am interested in whether or not the vectors economically are behind her. And here's why. Because young people, the kind of young women she's trying to reach out to, are entering the worst labor market in decades. I think when you're leaning in, you got to have something to lean into. And I've actually been wondering for some time if this sort of long-term structural high unemployment that I believe we're in is actually going to lead to a generation of younger people, not just women, but also young men, that are really less about giving their all for a corporation in which the contract between corporation and worker is broken, and more about finding balance. And I think that, you know, she may be fighting against the tide a little bit in this way.
All right, let me butt in here, as men often do. To me, the single most interesting line in the Time Magazine story was when Sheryl Sandberg acknowledged that she was the number two at a corporation run by Mark Zuckerberg, who's not even 30 yet, and her chances of ever being CEO were very slim. And she said, I'm fine with that. I'm not in any big hurry. I like my job, and I don't feel any need to be CEO. And I found this so ironic, given that this is the same woman who's talking about how women need to claw your way to the top and how they have to change their mindset and become more ambitious. The women who get to the top of American corporations do the same thing that men do. They fight and they claw and they create a life that has other people doing much of the work at home.
I'll take the baton, the talking stick back from you for a minute, Joe, and say that I think that, you know, what you may be getting at, and I think an important part of this debate was brought up in the incredibly well-read Anne-Marie Slaughter piece that was in The Atlantic several months ago. It's about balance. It's about control. And I think that most women, myself included, you know, certainly want to be successful, but they want to control their own environments. And I think that one of the reasons why many women, frankly, choose not to take that top job is that the institutions are still not flexible enough.
Well, a lot of the discussion in the book is about what women can do and how they can fix the problem. But how much of this is about companies and what they need to do to make sure that women stay in the workforce, that they attract them, that they stay committed?
I think it's tremendously about that. And I think that you can see the smartest companies, in a way, they've gone beyond gender in the debate. They're looking at who's holding the wallet, and it's women. Women are now half of the workforce. In many cases, they're the top bread earners in families. They definitely make all the purchasing decisions. So the smartest corporations, many of the consumer goods corporations, retail companies, tend to already be hiring women and nurturing them and giving them the kind of packages that will help them to stay. And it's not just women. It's men, too.
But what is also true is that the number of women at the top of corporations remains small. The number of women on boards remains, you know, a quarter of what it is men. And although this is a lot of progress from, for instance, when I first started at Fortune in 1995, when I think there was one female CEO, you know, there still aren't a ton. And, you know, for men to get at the top of corporations, everything has to be subliminated to their ambition. And for women to get to the top of corporations, everything has to be sublimated to their ambition.
But I actually think there are a group of younger people that, frankly, don't have the kind of compact that an older generation had with corporate America. They don't see the growth. They don't see the rewards. And they're going to find their own way, and they're going to force companies to change and become more flexible, or they're going to start their own, or they're going to basically have portfolio careers that allow them to blend things in a more creative way.
Finally, let's look ahead to next week and some of the stories that we're watching. Joe, what's on your radar?
I am very, very curious to see what happens with the Time Inc. magazine spinoff, which was announced just the other day. Time Inc. was going to be sold. Most of the profitable magazines were going to be sold to Meredith, a big publisher in Des Moines. The deal fell through. Jeff Bukas, the CEO of Time Warner, clearly does not want the magazines around. I think he feels like it's hurting the stock, and he just wants to offload them. So he's going to spin them into a separate company. And then it's really going to be very much like what Rupert Murdoch's doing at News Corp, spinning off his print properties. You know, are these properties going to be able to succeed on their own without the cushion of a large corporation? It's a hugely important question.
Well, Joe, I too will be watching that story closely for different reasons. But I'll also be watching the jobs numbers that are coming out today, because they're going to be very important, not just this time around, but in the next few months going forward, because the Fed is watching these jobs numbers. As we've talked about on this show, the Fed has basically said that until the unemployment rate comes down to 6.5, they're going to continue their program of asset buying that's been raising the stock market, as we talked about last time on the show. And so I think that the jobs numbers from here on out are going to be crucial. And it also underlines a very important fact, which is that much of what's happening in the market today is based on macroeconomic factors, on what's happening in countries as opposed to what's happening in the companies themselves.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. And while you're there, tell us what you think about Sheryl Sandberg's suggestions for how women can get ahead in the workforce. Do you agree? Disagree? Let us know and we'll follow up. And don't forget, you can download this program as a podcast from iTunes. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, Jonah Sayre with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.